Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Thoughtful Hour. I am Pastor Garrett Morgan here with my good friend David.
David Bolduc from Strong Tower Radio.
And the reason that we have called this A Thoughtful Hour for our new listeners is from a quote here from The Desire of Ages on page 83. It says, "It would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. We should take it point by point and let the imagination grasp each scene, especially the closing ones."
And each of these episodes that we're recording, it's just coming true time and time again. Did you think of this? Did you think of that? It just all comes together. So listeners, if you want a copy of this book, Desire of Ages, you can call us here at Strong Tower Radio, 231-468-2087. Ask for the book, The Desire of Ages, and we will send you a copy, no charge to you. We will send a copy to you. And the beautiful thing about this book, we've talked about different times, but it covers the life of Christ from before his birth till after the resurrection. Instead of like Matthew talks about this a little bit, Luke talks about this a little bit, it brings them all together. And it's not to replace the Gospels, but it's to magnify the Gospels.
Amen. The narrative comes across in a very chronological way.
Exactly.
And that's just so valuable when you're studying the Word of God. And you read it in a different translation than you're used to or whatnot, but yeah, having that there is just really powerful.
It's wonderful.
So anyway, last week in preparing for these episodes, you know, David and I talk about what we want to get in, and there's just so many little details, like he just mentioned, that have such deep spiritual meaning. It's overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, last week we just touched on the Last Supper.
Right.
And Judas, you know, he had made his decision and all of that, and we're still there in the Last Supper, but we took a look at there in Matthew where Jesus says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, where Jesus says, "I will not drink of this cup again."
And that's significant to him, especially in that culture, because it doesn't seem like they're drinking a lot of water. They would drink more wine and things.
Yes.
Because it's just safer to drink. But anyways, it's significant in their time period. I'm not going to drink wine.
That's huge. And when you take a look at cups in this story, you have this cup that Christ promised he wouldn't drink of again, but he drank of it with his disciples.
Right.
The next cup that we find Christ influenced by is the cup of the wrath of God sin there in Gethsemane, which I can't wait to touch upon when we get there.
Right.
And then when you take a look at Revelation, you find cups as a big theme as well.
Oh, they're very big. Yeah, there's lots of cups in the Revelation.
Yeah, there are. There's the cup of the wrath of God, which Christ drank in Gethsemane. Yeah. You have the cup that the harlot is drinking out of.
Exactly.
And then in Revelation 19, it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb.
And yeah, that's full circle to what we're talking about right
now. Full circle. But you brought something up that we couldn't get the time to bring up in our last episode on the cup. But Christ here is talking about this new wine that he drinks with his disciples. Mm-hmm. And bring up that insight that you mentioned.
And you look back at the beginning of Christ's ministry. What was the first miracle that we have in the Bible?
Yeah.
He turned water into wine. And if you look at the story, it's talking about ritual washing water, which I was listening to some rabbis and things talking on another network as a Jewish broadcast service. But what was really interesting was saying is that in the Jewish culture, the water that they use for ritual washing was basically water that a dog would drink.
So not for us.
Not for us. But it doesn't have to be purely filtered for drinking, but it's just to wash your hands.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you're an RVer here in Michigan, we have lots of RVs. You know, you've got the black water and you got the gray water.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that goes down the drain from the sink is considered gray water, the shower water, or something like that. And I'm not trying to gross our people out, but consider when Christ had those six large pots and they held 20 to 30 gallons each. And he used the ritual washing water to make wine. He cleansed it from all impurities and made the best. And, you know, the symbolic nature of that is that's what he wants to do to our lives. We are ritually clean, but are we really clean?
Ooh.
And he wants to take all that impurity and all that filth out of us and make us spotless. And so, you know, if you get lost in any of that, just look at the principle of it. Christ wants to clean our lives up.
Absolutely. And this is what we see him not only doing there in Cana, but you also see it here at this Last Supper with the washing of the feet, the cleansing that he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he does it by going about being a lamb and as a servant.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of who Jesus is,
Yeah.
which is phenomenal. But Like we mentioned in our last episode, this humility that Christ showed, not only in the washing of feet, but also in just his conversation with his disciples here at the Last Supper, I'm sure it made, and in fact, we know that it made the disciples uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Peter says, "Don't wash my feet." We covered that.
Yes.
Judas had his feet washed and he storms out because Christ identifies him as the betrayer.
Yeah.
So he leaves to go about that business.
Yeah. And he foretold that. Mm-hmm. He said this is what's going to happen.
Right. It's, so again, prophetic from the Messiah.
Time and time and time again. This whole week, time again.
Just incredible. So Jesus knows what's happening here, and he's having this, really, this is his last time with his disciples all together. Mm. So anyway, this happens, and Peter here is talking with Jesus, and it says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 33,
okay.
You want to admire Peter here, because Jesus is talking about, they're going to smite the shepherd, I'm going to die. I've been telling you guys this for a while.
A long time.
Yeah. And I don't know if Peter is tired of him saying this or what, but notice what he says in Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said to him, "Though all men should be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended."
Never.
Never. I will never desert you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to be true to you, true blue. Mm-hmm. I'm your guy.
Oh, yeah, right there.
And I really, maybe it's just me, but I really relate to Peter there because, you know, we talk about the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about, you know, martyrs.
Oh, yeah.
And we think to ourselves, man, if it came down to where someone said, curse God or die.
Yeah.
I'm going to stand.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I'm good. I'm solid.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to grit my teeth and look at whoever it is that's telling me that in the eye. And I'm going to say, I will never do that to my Lord.
But you know, the devil, whenever he hears us thinking that, whenever he sees us of that mindset, he just sits back and laughs, I'm sure.
100%.
Because he knows only Christ could stand up against him. But only in Christ can we stand up against the devil.
Amen. And Peter here, and we know from the story, this is just self-confidence. This is just the stubbornness and grit that he just has.
Yeah.
And so he's telling this to Jesus. And Jesus responds, I believe it's kindly, but boldly.
Right. He sets him straight.
He sets him straight. He predicts again. We just talked about Jesus prophesying.
Yeah.
He says in the very next verse there, in verse 34, verily I say to you that this night before the cock crow that you will deny me three times.
Now, I've got the New King James Version, and it says assuredly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, without doubt, Peter, you will deny me.
This is going to happen. Yeah. Not tomorrow, but tonight.
Tonight. In just a couple of hours, it's going to go downhill for you.
Yeah. And Peter responds again by saying, no, I would die for you.
He ramps it up. He ramps it up.
He does. And so we know what happens, and we'll cover this later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there's such a huge lesson that we can learn here. And we've talked about it already, but I just want to get into it a little bit more. With our Christian faith, we cannot afford to rely upon ourselves to overcome.
No, because as soon as we do, as soon as we think we're good, that's when the devil throws another one at us and he knocks us over.
Absolutely.
And we think, okay, and then the devil says, you've gone too far. You might as well just chuck it in. Mm-hmm. Or he tells us that you're too much of a sinner. God cannot have any place in heaven for you.
Yeah.
Well, the devil's a liar. So if he says this can't happen, then God says, absolutely, the door's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to remember that whenever the devil tempts us and we fall, God's right there to pick us up again.
Absolutely.
And he's waiting on Peter.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I really believe that Peter here was convinced.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. He was convinced that he could do it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Like, I believe that no one knew this more than Peter.
Right.
And, you know, and I know we'll talk about this again in the future, but Peter does, in fact, deny Christ three times.
He does.
But you'll remember after Christ comes back and ministers to his disciples, he asks Peter three times.
Do you love me?
And do you Peter, love me? Yeah. And Peter's just grieved because he knows. But like you mentioned, focusing on the mercy of Jesus, even though Peter denied ever knowing Jesus,
right,
Christ still worked through this man.
He did. Marvelous.
Oh, powerful.
And Peter afterwards, he wasn't relying on his strength anymore when he was brought before the Sanhedrin with John. Mm-hmm. They said, where did he get this? He was with Christ.
And I'm sure, because I really think, and maybe we're focusing too much on Peter, but again, I really relate to him. And I know that a lot of our listeners do too, but this night that Peter is about ready to go through and is beginning to go through here is going to be rock bottom for him.
Yeah, it's the lowest night of his life.
Because not only is he going to see his Savior taken from him, but he's going to deny him and he's going to have shame. He's going to weep.
Yeah,
he's going to be broken.
But he went back to where Christ was. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, and we'll get into that, between Peter and Judas.
Yes.
Peter went back and prayed.
He did. I believe he was converted.
Yeah, he was converted.
Yeah.
Now, did everything turn out for him that night? No.
Yeah, there's growth.
Yeah. Can you imagine the disciples that night and then on Sabbath the next day? They're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You could have done something. You had the sword. You could have done something.
Mm-hmm.
No, you took off and ran like the rest of us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So again, we'll cover that again, but the difference between Judas and Peter. But yeah, Peter here, he is, yeah, he's going to face some challenging times over the next few hours.
And God was with him. Sometimes God steps back and lets us make our mess, but he's still with him. And he knows that Peter is in his heart. He meant this, but he was relying on his strength. And we cannot rely on our own strength. We have to rely on God's strength to give us the courage to get through the trials.
Amen. And kind of bring this home for not only us here, but our listeners as well. Maybe there's somebody that's listening today that maybe not in action, but maybe in word, or maybe word and action, I don't know, but they have denied Jesus.
Yeah.
And maybe the devil is trying to tempt them into thinking that there is no hope for them because they have denied Christ so much.
And the one rule to remember, the devil's a liar. So if he says there's no hope, there's lots of hope.
Yeah.
There's no denying that whatever the devil says no, God says yes.
That's right. In Christ, I mean, what does it say? That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just.
Yes.
So yes, you may have denied Christ in your past. Maybe you even directly opposed him.
Right.
And I know that we all have opposed the will of God.
Oh, yeah.
But he will not only forgive you, but he will grow you.
He will abundantly pardon us.
Amen to that. And we see that not only in the life of Peter, but we can take courage from that in our own lives, that it's not too late for us.
No.
I believe that if Judas would have repented, what a testimony he could have had.
He would have been right there in humility. He would have been more powerful.
Oh.
But that's just the nature. It was just because of that pride that he would not submit that God says, okay, I'll let you go. But I don't want to let you go.
That's right. And we find that pride was the root of this whole great controversy that we're in.
Yeah.
All the way back to the war in heaven.
It was.
Pride is the root of sin.
And God's grace from the beginning, like you mentioned, from the war in heaven, God's grace has not changed one iota. It's not even a micron. It's the same then as it is now. So anytime somebody turns against God, the door is open, but until the time when that person puts their heart against God and says, I won't.
Absolutely.
That's that deadline.
Amen. But praise the Lord that God's grace is still sufficient for us today.
Amen.
And we can't wait next week to talk about probably one of the deepest, and in fact, the Gethsemane in the life of Christ. And we see something amazing here, but we'll take a look at that next time here on A Thoughtful Hour at Strong Tower Radio. Hey, thanks for listening.